of the Ignite conference and a lot of the guys there, and my exposure to him was there, and I loved his spirit and I loved his preaching, and I thought, this is a good friend, new friend for New Life, and I wanted him to come and to meet you and minister in this house with you, and I want us to see what God will do as we gather together, rally around his word and the things of God today. But I appreciate him. He's been an evangelist for many years and pastors now, and I believe he's got a word from God for this house and for this time and for us. And Brother McDonald, we're so glad that you're here. We're excited that you're here. We want you to take your liberty, and would you just point at him and say, "Preach to me, preacher." See, they want you to preach the word of God. Somebody say, "Preach the word, preacher." Yeah, that's what they want to hear. So we're thrilled and delighted that you're here, and we want you to come and truly take your liberty, Brother McDonald. Would you do that today? Praise God. Love you. Appreciate
you,
Pastor, that you're here.
Awesome. Let's clap our hands to the Lord. Now, if he's never done anything for you, don't clap. But if he's done something for you, you ought to clap your hands. And you ought to get your mouth open when you do that. Because the Bible tells us to clap our hands unto the Lord and to shout. Come on, let's do it again. I feel the Holy Ghost from the time I stepped in. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody got a hallelujah in their soul? Come on, you can't think hallelujah. You got to say hallelujah. So one more time with a loud voice, let's fill this sanctuary with praise and with worship. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to New Life. And if you're here today and you're tired of your old life, you're in the right house. Praise God. We are excited and delighted to be here and to see what God is doing on this side of the vineyard. And I appreciate the good touch of the Holy Ghost and the response in worship and in prayer. And I agree with your pastor. I believe God has been dispatching miracles in this house. Amen. And I want everything that God has for me. And I believe God's going to continue to do great things in this service this morning. Are you glad you're in Sunday school? Hallelujah. Well, by now my church has figured out that I'm not showing up. And so I'm just going to go ahead and enjoy the two services that God has given us here. I want to give honor to your pastor and to his wife. We love them so much. Pastor Sutton is far out and out of sight, and when you hear him preach, it's dynamite. I believe everything that I just said. I heard him preach last year at Ignite, and I was like, I just quit writing notes because I thought, I'm not going to be able to go home and preach this anyway. My mind was blown. And his classy wife, we want to give honor to her. And I just appreciate the work of God that they're doing here. What God's doing here, what God is doing here is revolutionary, it's monumental, and it's eternal. And only heaven will reveal in that time what has transpired in Birmingham, Alabama, from the ministry of Pastor and Sister Sutton. Now, if this is your first time here, I'm sorry that you're introduced to the preaching in this church by me, but you need to come back. You need to come back to where you can hear this good man of God preach. But for the next few moments, you're stuck with me, and I want to read from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Man, I feel good. I get dangerous when I feel this good. How many's going to help me preach? How about the rest of you? Now there's two kinds of people that make me want to preach, those that want me to and those that don't. So if you just help me, we can get out of here. Oh, probably by 2-3 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't eat breakfast. My burger buzzer's going off. And I want to go find something to eat. But I do want to read from Matthew chapter 6. And this is very familiar reading for you Bible students especially. Let's begin reading in the 9th verse. Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." And everybody said, my question is going to be my sermon title this morning. And I want to ask you, when is the last time you moved heaven? That's what I thought. We always think heaven's going to move earth. And we're waiting on heaven to do something toward us. But it just could be today that heaven's been waiting on your prayer, on your praise, and on your response in this house. One more time, let's throw holy hands up in the air. Come on, let's give God some more praise. Oh, I love worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you this morning. You may be seated. What we just read here, because there may be some others that would abuse this portion of Scripture, that is no call for us to not use what Jesus has given us. This is commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Really, the Lord's Prayer proper is in John chapter 17, when he prayed his high priestly prayer. This may be more better understood as the disciple school of prayer. For they asked the master, and nobody ever prayed like Jesus prayed. They asked the master, teach us to pray. And so this is a model prayer. I believe that we can say, or we can rehearse, or we can quote this prayer, not just because it's a prayer, but just for the mere fact that it's Scripture. And in Luke's rendition of this, Jesus said, when you pray, say. So when we go to prayer, we can quote word for word, Our Father, which art in heaven. But it is also a model prayer. When we pray, we use this as a skeleton prayer. It's the model prayer. And you'll notice that it opens up with praise and worship. And you always approach God on the basis of worship. So Jesus, the master teacher, is teaching his disciples, the pupils, how to pray. And if Jesus gave this to his disciples to use, I believe we ought to use this as our pattern for prayer, or our main course for prayer. Look at what Jesus said. This is the perfect prayer. He said, Our Father, that's the perfect Father, the perfect parent, which art, that's the perfect existence, in heaven, the perfect place, hallowed, that's the perfect holiness, be thy name, that's the perfect name, thy kingdom come, that's the perfect kingdom, thy will, that's the perfect contract, be done, that's the perfect service, in earth as it is in heaven, that's the perfect contrast. Give us, that is the perfect petition. This day is the perfect timing. Our daily bread, that's the perfect provision. And forgive us our debts, that's the perfect forgiveness. As we forgive our debtors, that's the perfect reciprocation. And lead us not into temptation. That's perfect guidance. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's perfect deliverance. For thine is, that's perfect ownership. The kingdom, that's perfect dominion. The power, that's perfect power. And the glory, that's the perfect glory. Forever, that's perfect duration. And Jesus closed the prayer with an amen, and that is the perfect benediction. This is the perfect prayer. Now, I want to tell you something about this prayer. This is not a self-centered prayer. This is an other-centered prayer. That means when I pray, when I go to God, I'm just not going to God for myself. But I've got to have my brothers and sisters on my mind when I'm praying. Let me try it over here on this side of the church. Jesus didn't say, when you approach me, say, my Father. He said, our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He didn't just say, give me my daily bread, but he said you need to have your brothers and sisters in mind when you pray. Give us our daily bread. Don't just pray that God would forgive you, but be an intercessor, as it were, and pray, lead us not into temptation, and forgive us our debts. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm a part of the body of Christ. And there are many members in particular. And every one of them have different functions, and every one of them have distinction. But you've got to remember, at the end of the day, we are all a part of the same body of Christ. Well, hallelujah. I guess I haven't found some of you yet, but I'm going to say this. You truly haven't really prayed and touched God until you prayed for your brother in need or your sister in need. Hallelujah. You can't be stingy about your prayer. You can't be selfish about your prayer. When you go to prayer, you need to remember everybody that's a part of the same body as you. Well, I wish I had some Pentecostals to help me preach. Not everybody's a hand. Not everybody's a foot. Not everybody's an eye. Hallelujah. Amy said, well, what are we, Brother McDonald? Does it really matter as long as you're a part of the body of Christ? Amen. And I'm not preaching some sloppy, agape, charismatic stuff. This is Bible. We are all a part of the body of Christ, and we need to love one another, appreciate one another, and help one another. You ought to clap your hands to the Lord. So when I go to prayer, I'm praying for you. And I pray when you go to prayer that you'll pray for me. And we pray for our community, and we pray for our city. We're not just being stingy people about our needs, but we've got the needs of the kingdom of God on our mind and on our heart. I want to tell you something else about this prayer. This prayer links our world with God's world. Hallelujah. This prayer enables us to bring heaven to earth. It's the bridge. It's the bridge between the gap and the chasm. We think heaven's so far away from earth, but I want you to know today, heaven's not that far from us. Amen. And it's through this prayer that we can link our world with his world. And our world's in a mess. The pastor has already said it. Our world's in a horrible tailspin. Hallelujah. There's a lot of hell that has come to this world. But I'm preaching to you today, let's not focus just on the hell that's coming to this world. We need to pray that heaven would come to this world. Some of you say, Brother McDonald, I'll get with you when you're at the good part. I'm at the good part right now. Listen, we're not just an ordinary group of people. This isn't just an ordinary house you walked into. And this is not just another church denomination that you are a part of. We link this world with God's world. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's through this prayer. When we pray, thy kingdom come. Jesus said to pray it, we ought to pray it. And when you pray, you ought to expect to receive what you prayed for. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean or ugly here today, but a lot of times when we think about the kingdom, we think of something that is yet to come. And I believe the kingdom in its fullness is going to come. I believe there's better for the church yet to come. But I don't want to be reaching for something that's yet to come and miss what's already here. Listen, I'm not dominion theology and all that junk, but I do believe that you and I are in the kingdom right now. You and I have it. Well, hallelujah to God. We have entered into the kingdom right now. Okay, is there anybody here that's been born again? Come on, you ought to wave your hand at me. Are you glad you're born again? Amen. Amen. When you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, that's how you enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. We have entered the kingdom in earnest. Yes, I know there's a kingdom yet to come. Yes, I know there's greater things to come. But I do not want to miss the opportunity that God has given me now. We need to pray thy kingdom come. And if we need to pray it, we need to expect it. Lord, let me see your kingdom in my ministry. Let me see your kingdom in my church. Let me see your kingdom, Lord, in this place. Thy kingdom come. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, we need to wake up and realize what we do in this life does matter. How we live does matter. What we do with the time that God has given us does matter. I'm looking forward to eternity. I can't wait to step into eternity. But our eternity is going to depend upon what we do with time. And we are here. We are here to get on with the work of the kingdom. The last place that earth, amen, would house the feet of the very Son of God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen, was the Mount at Bethany, amen. And before Jesus ascended to the heaven, he told his disciples, get on with the work of the kingdom. It's time to go to Jerusalem. Tarry until you receive the Holy Ghost, amen. And they must have just tarried at Bethany for a while because God had to send two men in white clothing, evidently angels. You read it in the book of it. See, if you read your Bible, we could have been at the restaurant already. He said, if Jesus said, start heading toward Jerusalem, I suggest you make your journey toward Jerusalem. They're content with Bethany's blessing, but you got to walk two more miles to Jerusalem to get on with the work of the kingdom. And God didn't call us just to be collectors of blessings. I got no help over here, but that's all right. God didn't call us just to come here, amen, and to collect our blessing. And I want to get only what's going to benefit me. Listen, God didn't put you in the kingdom just for things to benefit you. God put you in the kingdom so you can benefit the kingdom. Did he say go to Jerusalem? Then I suggest you make your journey to Jerusalem. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of going to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday. No power, no Bible studies, no miraculous, no healing. Church, it's time we get on with the work of the kingdom. Is there anybody at New Life that's hungry for a move of God? Hungry. Oh, I want to see these blinded eyes healed. I want to see that diabetes driven out of that young man's body. I want to see the lame walk. Listen, man, I feel the Holy Ghost up in here. That was not just for the apostles' time. That was not just the time of the Gospels. That's for Birmingham. That's for Shelbyville. That's for the entire world. Come on, shout it at me. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. You know what we feel right now? We're feeling the kingdom.
We pray. I didn't mean to wake you up all at one time. Sit down for a second. We pray that God's will in heaven becomes God's will in earth. It's a prayer that you've got to take the initiative. We ought to wake up every day saying, Lord, let me see your kingdom today. Man, this is so good, I might buy my own CD. This is good. And there's a lot of times we think heaven's waiting on us. And it is. Heaven is waiting on us. Well, I wish God would move me. And God says, well, I wish you'd move me. I wish God would touch me. And God says, I wish somebody'd touch me. We say, I wish God would bless me. And God's standing in heaven and says, I just wish somebody would bless me. Listen, we're not Quakers, we're Pentecostal. We don't sit here and test the winds out. I'm just going to wait until the Holy Ghost moves. That's why you haven't moved in 20 years. Saved, sanctified, petrified. Favorite song is I Shall Not Be Moved, and favorite scripture is None of These Things Move Me. When's the last time you just moved? Listen, I hope I'm not. I'm never coming back, I can tell you. I'm just waiting until I feel the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you did it out of what you knew? Listen. I don't need anybody to tell me I'm a good preacher. I know I'm a good preacher. You know how I know I'm a good preacher? I preach Sunday morning. I preach Sunday night. I teach Wednesday Bible class. I preach Friday night service unless I let one of the young ministers preach. I know I'm a good preacher because I got people, they're SMOs, Sunday morning only. We even have CEOs in Shelbyville. That's Christmas and Easter only. And I am such a good preacher. They don't come Sunday night or to Wednesday Bible class or to Friday. They just come Sunday morning. My preaching's so good, what I give them Sunday morning, it might carry them 3-4 months. So that's how I know I'm a good preacher. You need to be faithful to your pastor and faithful to this local assembly. Every time the church doors... Every time the church or doors are open, you need to be here. I was glad when they said unto me. You need to be here in Bible class when the pastor's teaching Bible study. He's not just giving you good knowledge, he's giving you God knowledge. And God help us if we're long on shouting but short on teaching. Boy, I felt that thud. I thank God for the feeling. I'm not minimizing the feeling. And I feel that, man, I just want to bang my head against one of them cement blocks. I just feel the Holy Ghost so much in this place. I'm not minimizing the feeling. But there's going to come a time in your walk with God that you do not feel God. And I want to put a little disclaimer there. Just because you don't feel God doesn't mean God's abandoned you or you're backslid. Hey. You know what the Bible... Man, I wish I had time to teach a Bible class today. The two bookends of the Gospel of Matthew. It opens and closes with two bookends. The first bookend is, his name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew closes with the final bookend. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So from beginning to end, he is with us. Whether we feel him or we don't feel him, we need to... If you'd listen to your pastor's preaching, you know, and he gives you that God knowledge, you know that God is with you. And so when you come to Wednesday Bible class and the pastor gives you the good word, you can shout on Sunday, not by just what you feel, but by what you know. You know why I can run the aisle? Because I know I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I know God loves me. I'm not a laboratory experiment. I'm not a redheaded stepchild. And whether I feel him or not, I can worship him not by what I feel, but what I know. Listen. I'm sorry, this is your introduction to me, but you don't have to feel the Holy Ghost to clap your hands. You don't have to feel the Holy Ghost to lift your hands. You don't have to, hey. You don't have to feel the Holy Ghost to run the aisle. I know we got a lot of folk that say, don't do it till you feel. Well, you're just going to have to pardon me. I was raised on Motown with my mom and dad, and I got a word from Gene Knight for you. Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are? You don't have to feel the Holy Ghost to worship. You don't have to feel the Holy Ghost to run. You don't have to feel the Holy Ghost to clap your hands, because my walk with God is not predicated on a feeling. It's relationship. You ought to try it right now. But you know what? If you do get your hands together, you will feel something. If you do move your feet, you will feel something. I'm not waiting for heaven. I'm not waiting for heaven to touch me. I'm going to touch heaven. I'm going to move heaven. I'm going to bless heaven. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. You know, there's a lot of times my wife probably don't feel married to me, but she is. I wish my wife could be here. She'd be so proud of me. I'm preaching so good. One of these times, Bishop will just have to sneak in, and I'll bring her in. Man, I was evangelizing, and she's playing the keyboard. 5'3", pretty frame, wonder what could be her name. And that's old time Pentecost in Pennsylvania. And my wife was at the piano. She was singing that song, I'll Have a New Body. I thought, man, there's nothing wrong with the one she got right now. And now we pastor in Indiana, corn country. And every now and then I tell Julia, say, meet me out in the cornfield and I'll kiss you between the ears. Praise God. We've been married 15 years, going on 16, and I still do things to aggravate her. But even look at all the women looking at their husbands. Yeah. When a friend comes to my house, he says, hey, McDonald, the garbage stinks. You know what I'm thinking? Man, that's a good friend right there. You know what he's telling me? Stay out of the kitchen. But when 5'3" tells me, hey, McDonald, the garbage stinks, she's not telling me to stay out of the kitchen. You know what she's telling me? Hey, lazy, take out the garbage. What garbage? It's Tuesday. The garbage don't come till next Monday. We got plenty of time. I'm sure she don't feel married then. Now, I come home from church. My shoes may be in the foyer, and my coat may be draped over the couch, drawers hanging over the mirror. And I get it. You know, after Sunday night, you just want to veg. I don't know, should you say drawers in Birmingham? I guess it's easier to get forgiveness and permission. I don't know. And I get into my lounge clothes because like that old gospel song says, every day over there will be Sunday. I hope to God not. And I'm in my lazy boy, and I can hear that melodious voice from the first floor. Daniel! And I think, man, if I don't move, she won't even know I'm here. Get down here, man. Now it's time to turn myself into the warden. And she points to the pants hanging on the mirror. She said, I got a few questions I'd like to ask you. Who do these belong to? Well, baby, if they're not mine, I got a couple questions I'd like to ask you. I promise you, she don't feel married then. Are you ready? Marriage is not a feeling. It's commitment. It's relationship. Love. Love is not a feeling, even though you can feel love. And that's the same thing in your walk with God. When you mess up, God still loves you. When you did something you shouldn't have, God still loves you. You know what you need to do? Ask Him to forgive you. Put it under the... There's some of you, man, I feel like I could preach now. There's some of you that are afraid to worship here today because of what you did yesterday. And the devil's jumped on your back and said, you shouldn't be doing that. Don't you remember what you did last night? But you need to tell the devil, I know what I did last night, but I also know what the blood of Jesus did for me in Sunday school. So you keep coming to church whether you feel like it or not. You keep worshiping whether you feel like it or not. You stay faithful whether you feel like it or not. Oh, we ought to worship the Lord here. Man, doesn't it feel good in this place? Some of you ought to get your mouth open. I can't hear your head rattle when you're doing this. You got to get your mouth open. Connect with the preacher. Connect with the move of God. Connect with this church. Hey, it's okay to talk in tongues when I'm preaching. It's okay to cry when I'm preaching. It's okay to jump up and down when I'm preaching. This is a one God church. We have that knowledge. You think, and I appreciate the, just sit down for a second. I get so nervous in front of new crowds. Appreciate that song the chorale sang. Heaven touches earth and I'm caught in between. That's why I want to be sandwiched right between heaven and earth. Man, I wish I had time to preach to you about Jesus Christ and the incarnation. You know what the incarnation is? That's the best of both worlds. Because Jesus is all God and Jesus is all man. Perfect God and perfect man. In the incarnation, the mystery of... See, the mystery of iniquity is man trying to be God. But the mystery of godliness is God becoming man. And Jesus, the incarnation, is the bridge. It's the gap. That's Jacob's ladder. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, why are you preaching that, Brother McDonald? I'm glad you asked. Because heaven's not that far away. In the incarnation, Jesus brought heaven to earth. Okay, let's try it like that. I see some buzzards circling around the sanctuary here. Let me try it like this. I hate to mess with our songs, but some of our songs need to be messed with. You can, thank you. I got one honest person in the house that's going to help me preach here. You are, no matter how hard you try, you are never going to go back to Calvary. Take me back to Calvary. Impossible. Now, I'm trying, sister. I'm giving it to him straight, no chaser. And some. You can't go back to Calvary. You know why? It happened one time. Calvary was an actual spiritual historical event that will never happen again. So you cannot go back to Calvary. No, man, but I got a glorious gospel announcement for you. Since you can't go back to Calvary, we have a great high priest over the house of God. And you better thank God you got a great high priest. Because while you can't go back to Calvary, we've got a high, and I tell you, I've been looking for them all in this service among 400 people. I don't see them, but I sure enough do feel Jesus Christ walking up and down these aisles just like John saw him. Well, hallelujah. You're getting new pews anyway, right? Are you getting new pews here in a little bit? Amen. I just feel like getting up here and telling you, John saw Jesus in the middle of the church, and I feel Jesus in the middle of this church. There's a great high priest walking up and down these aisles. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm looking at some of you brothers. Amen. And some of them were crying and some of them were jumping. Some of them young men and the pastor, they're walking in circles. I feel like I want to go nuts in this place. Some are crying. Some are talking in tongues. Some are receiving the Holy Ghost. You know what happened? The high priest just came into their eyes. So I'm going to give her a blessing and I'm going to give her a blessing and I'm going to give him a blessing and I'm going to give her a blessing. I thank God that we have a great high priest over the house of God. Say, brother, yeah. You say, what does that mean? What does that mean? The Bible says that our great, this is the benefit of the incarnation. The Bible says that our great high priest is touched or he's moved with the feeling of our infirmities. Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Not only does the high priest come to you, amen, but the high priest is moved by you. The high priest is motivated by you. When you can't even verbalize how you're feeling, we have a great high priest that is moved. He's sympathetic. That's how close heaven is. That when you just feel something, it moves him. He's moved with compassion. He's moved with sympathy. Oh, God. You can move him. Listen, I'm going to go here in a minute. Who give me five more minutes? Raise your hand if you give me five, 10, 50. There's 3 hours. Oh, man, I got plenty of time. Just like Moses made his ascent to Mount Sinai, Jesus is the true Israel of God. He made his ascent after he came out of the wilderness to the Mount of Beatitudes, and he starts giving them the constitution of the kingdom. Jesus didn't say, this is what's going to happen. Jesus said, this is happening. The kingdom is nigh. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the same voice that thundered Sinai is now enfleshed in Christ. In his words, left the mountain and went all the way down into the valley. To where when he made his descent in Matthew chapter 8, oh God, he's met by two people. One is a Jew and the other is a Gentile. The first is a leper. And he says, Lord, if you can do anything, you know, Jesus says, I will. That's what he told the Jew. Then comes a Gentile. It's a Roman who has a servant sick unto death. And Jesus gives him an I will. I will come and heal. I wish I had time to preach. The great I am has a great I will. See, we know he can. We need to be convinced he will. Everybody in here believes he can. But you need to leave this church today knowing that he will. So he cleanses a leper and he raises the dead. Okay, you ready? Two chapters later, he tells his disciples, preach. And this is what I want you to preach. This is what I want you to say. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this is what I want you to do. You heard me preach it. You saw me practice it. You saw me cleanse a leper. You saw me raise the dead. Now I want you to preach it. And I want you to practice it. Read the Bible. He tells them, cleanse the lepers and raise the dead. Evidently, where there's no miracles, signs, and wonders, the kingdom's not fully being preached. Now listen, I don't have all the answers. Just when I think I do, they change the questions. And I don't have all the solutions, and I'm not saying I've arrived, but I am telling you I'm reaching for something. We're good at preaching it, but we need to practice it. We're good at declaring it, but we need to demonstrate it. Okay. I hope I'm not preaching anything against what this good man preaches. I prayed for a lot of people to get the Holy Ghost. They didn't get it. What do you say about that? Oops, what am I supposed to say? But I don't quit praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost. I prayed for a lot of people that were sick and they didn't get healed. What do? I go to the next person and pray for them. Listen, I can't give anybody the Holy Ghost. I can't heal anybody. But I want to be like the Apostle Paul. He said, when I came to you, I didn't just come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but he said, I came with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. What is that? You know what Jesus was saying? This is how you know, man, I feel the Holy Ghost up in this place. Jesus was saying, you know, the kingdom has come when the dead are raised, when blinded eyes are open, when lepers are cleansed, hallelujah, deaf ears are unstopped, and the lame start walking. Amen. That's what the kingdom looks like. It's time we get on with the kingdom work. This, as the music comes, Jesus is saying, this is what the kingdom of God looks like right here. For the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. There, and I'm not just saying this to hype you up. I'm not a holler for a dollar preacher, and I'm not trying to hype. I'm telling you, I love what I feel in this house. I don't know if you need an usher or a songbook passer outer or someone to mow the lawn. Man, I'd feel so comfortable being right here with what I feel and what I see. Ever since I walked into this sanctuary, now it took me a long while to get here. I parked on the wrong side of the church, had to take an elevator, three escalators, showed them my passport and visa, and finally they let me into the sanctuary. But I had a good usher. He brought me where I needed to be. There's just, I know you only been here a little, almost a year, whatever, but there's something ingrained in this congregation that has been transferred from your pastor and his wife to you. You know what it is? It's what I'm preaching here. It's the work of the kingdom. And there's something moving even now. Oh, you know what it is? It's the resurrection power of the kingdom. We are waiting for final redemption. That's when we receive final adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Our bodies have not yet been fully redeemed. That's why if the Lord tarries, we will die. That's why we get old. That's why we get sick. But we're waiting on final resurrection. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. But the resurrection, and I might preach about this tonight, I don't know. The resurrection has come to us in the kingdom in earnest. That's why Jesus said, John chapter 5, the hour is coming and now is. He pulled from the future and said, it's right now. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in the resurrection, having a body fashioned like unto his, that doesn't tire, that doesn't get sick, that doesn't grow old, that doesn't grow weary? So what happens when the Holy Ghost moves in this place? That's a resurrection breakthrough. There is no telling what happened in this prayer meeting we had about 40-some minutes ago. And when God heals somebody, you know what that is? That's the resurrection come crashing into our world. Because in the resurrection, there is no diabetes. Y'all ain't helping me. In the resurrection, there are no eye conditions. In the resurrection, there's no heart malady. And God, yeah. Give me some of that. Yeah. And God is saying, I'm just giving you an hors d'oeuvre. I'm just giving you the prelude of what it's going to be like in eternity. That's why you need to receive the Holy Ghost. It's eternal life. Oh, you ought to clap your hands. There it is. Halamo kande I kalamo hosaya. Hey, come on, it's moving. We've got a great high priest here, and you know what I like? I don't have to beg you to worship. I don't have to beg you to respond. I don't know. Come on, I'm not a praise hustler. I'm not up here trying to get you to move. Somebody got a hold of this a long time ago. Hey, come on, come on. I feel it moving back here. Hey, you know you can worship even before the music gets up here. This isn't about an organ. This isn't about the drums. This isn't about the PA. This is about thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, hallelujah. If you're here today, you needed the Holy Ghost, come on up to this altar. If God has never baptized you with the Holy Ghost, come on up. If you need a healing in your body, come on up. Do you need deliverance? Come on up. Come on, where are you? Where are you today? Hey, hey. Hey, do you feel that moving? Do you feel that resurrection breakthrough? Come on, God's given us a glimpse. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Hallelujah. Come on, come on. That's right, that's right. Yeah.
Praise Him. 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 He's worthy.
Yes.
He's worthy.
The kingdom. The kingdom. This is what it looks like. What the
praise
kingdom
him,
looks like.
Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. He's holy. Holy. Holy.
Yes.
Holy. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh.